This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. And my two 12-year-olds finally got a good night's sleep last night. They finished their 7th grade Common Core standardized tests yesterday. So now they can get back to 7th grade as usual. The stress is over for now. The Common Core Educational Standards curriculum and approach to education will culminate between now and the beginning of June with a battery of tests being used in nearly every state in the U.S. It's a final trial run for the standardized testing program that will be used in earnest beginning next year. And used for what, Carmel Martin?
They're going to be used to assess how our students are doing against the standards and skills that are needed for them to be successful at the college level, but also in career and life. The standards were developed by teachers, experts, state and local leaders who had a lot of evidence that our current state standards weren't preparing our children for what they needed to be successful as they moved on to college and into the workforce.
Carmel Martin is Executive Vice President for Policy at the Center for American Progress and former Assistant Secretary for Planning, Evaluation, and Policy Development. A little different voice now from Liz Rosenberg. Not so much enthusiasm in your household for these Common Core tests. Liz, explain.
Actually, my daughter would have loved to have taken the test, but we decided that she would not take it this year. The reason is because having seen the sample tests online and talking to teachers and hearing from our principal, feeling like this test is not serving our school and it's not serving other schools. As an educator, I'm not just a parent. I've been in numerous schools where there's an incredible focus on the test. We've seen the footage of celebrations that's coming up, the test, Ravin dance parties, students feeling like it is absolutely essential that they do well on the test. And now that the test is tied to teacher evaluations, it's very hard for teachers not to do even more test prep because their jobs are on the line.
What's the conversation like among other parents like yourself who are opting out in these Common Core tests?
I happen to be a fourth grade parent, and fourth grade in District 15, where my daughter goes to school, is the year that counts to go when you're going to go to middle school. So the middle school test is looked at as part of admission to middle school, which is kind of crazy when you think about college admission, but this is just middle school admission. So for fourth grade parents, it was a really hard decision in general. We wanted to know from the schools whether or not they would accept our children without the test scores. And so some parents went to work and called, I think, 19 schools, maybe less, in District 15 and found that those schools would be willing to look at our children in a more holistic way.
All right, to Carmel Martin, what do you make of the parental opt-out options here in New York, as Liz Rosenberg is describing, and around the country?
So as a parent myself, I understand that some parents might decide that opting out is the right thing to do, but I guess I would argue that as parents, we shouldn't opt out, because these assessments really are designed to tell parents, but also teachers and the students themselves, how they're doing. And they're really, it's like in the medical profession, you use a thermometer or an x-ray machine to see how things are going. That said, I think there's legitimate concerns about the way tests are being used and the overemphasis on tests in our education system. I think the ironic part here is these new tests are an effort to try to get beyond those prior poor practices. These assessments are designed to be a richer analysis of how kids are doing and not the traditional fill-in-the-bubble multiple choice test. So I hope parents and educators will give these assessments a chance, because I do think they'll be better than the assessments we've used in the past.
That's Carmel Martin, who's Executive Vice President for Policy at the Center for American Progress, former Assistant Secretary for Planning, Evaluation, and Policy Development at the U.S. Department of Education. Carmel, let me play for you a fairly eloquent critique of the tests from a mom in Brooklyn.
Creating high-stakes tests will not solve this problem of low educational achievement. Giving third graders a reading passage from Tolstoy, like the practice test that is on the New York State Department of Education website, which is written at a 5th to 7th grade reading level, will not help children be smarter, perform better, or be more ready for college, no matter how many boxes with definitions you put on that page, which I think I counted 4, and 2 of the words I didn't know, and I have 2 master's degrees.
That's Takiema Bunch-Smith. It sounds like she's beyond convincing here, Carmel Martin.
Well, I hope she's not. I mean, first of all, I agree with her that the tests are not going to be what gets our children where they need to be in terms of reaching standards. She's absolutely right. The test is not the end. It is a means to the end. They're just a tool for teachers and educators to use to assess where kids are at in order to help children get where they need to be. I mean, if used well, the assessments should be used by teachers to help change their practice. If a child's having a struggling with a particular topic, they can adjust their instruction to try to help the children learn better. But they're not the end in and of themselves. They're a means to the end.
All right, Carmel Martin, what do you make of whole states opting out, though? Indiana has decided to jettison the Common Core for now. How does that affect the national picture?
So they're in the process of developing new standards. So it's not that they're rejecting the idea of standards and assessments to measure how we're doing against those standards. I mean, tests really are a critical part of the education endeavor. So I hope the debate, and I don't think the debate in Indiana, but I hope the debate isn't whether we use tests at all, but rather what are the best tests we can use to assess how our students are doing, and more importantly, how do we use them productively and not counterproductively? There's been legitimate concerns about an overemphasis on tests, teaching to the test, narrowing curriculum to meet tests. These new tests, where we're really just in a beta phase around them to make sure they are as rich and productive as we want them to be, but these new tests are designed to try to tackle some of those problems, as are the standards. I mean, in the prior generation of tests, it was very much memorize information and test whether you know the content. The new standards are really focused as much on skills as on content, which I think is really important when you think about what you want your children to be able to do, not just as a future worker in our economy, but as a member of our society. You want them to have problem-solving skills, critical thinking skills, good communication skills. That's really at the core of these new standards. And the new tests are designed to assess whether children have those skills. So it's not just do they know information, but are they able to apply the information? Because that's going to make them more capable to tackle college content, but as importantly, more capable to tackle life.
So Carmel Martin there alluded to the idea that this isn't a beta test. This is a trial run for these tests. Brooklyn mom Liz Rosenberg, what would change over the next year that might cause you to be more enthusiastic about these tests for your fourth grader who next year will be a fifth grader?
There'd have to be so much that would change over the next year. A couple things I want to point out. One is that there is apparently a question on the New York State test that is asking students to really, there's an article that talks about Bigfoot, and it presents the information as if Bigfoot is real. The sense that we're getting from kids is that they were really, really confused about what they were supposed to do with this information about Bigfoot being real. And the other thing I want to say about the exams that are coming on a national level, originally, the PARC exam was going to be something that happened more than once a year. And the reason it was going to be happening more than once a year is because there was a value put on formative assessment, not summative assessment, that happened at the end of the year. Formative assessment happens throughout the year. And so in the school, in many, many schools that are high functioning and have a great community of teachers who really, really study what students are doing, those schools do formative assessment constantly. So those teachers know a lot about what's happening with their students.
You're referring to the PARC test, which is the Partnership for Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, one of the tests in the Common Core program. Our thanks to Brooklyn mom Liz Rosenberg. Thanks so much.
You're welcome.
And thanks to Carmel Martin, Executive Vice President for Policy at the Center for American Progress. Carmel, thanks.
Thanks for having me.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.